The Cat Attack Podcast. Kurz Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Thanks to Kurz Hire, it's time to talk all things AFLW. Cat Attack Podcast, usually myself and Benjamin William Casanilia waxing lyrical about the Cats, usually talking absolute gobbledygook, and we're not going to be talking that here because we're going to talk serious because we are AFLW Season 10. It kicks off this weekend. The Cats taking on North Melbourne, Tasmania, GMHBA Stadium, Saturday afternoon, and a special edition of the Kurz Hire Cat Attack Podcast. Firstly, a very big welcome to the coach of the Geelong Cats AFLW team, Dan Lowther. Hello, Dan.
How are you, mates?
I'm very, very well, and good to see you. We caught up last Tuesday night at South Bank for the AFLW season launch. Good night.
Yeah, we did. It was a good night. Busy night. Lots of good people there from the industry, and it was informative and good way to kick off the year.
How'd you go with the dessert bar at the end?
No, I actually missed a lot of the food. I saw a lot of it getting around, but I missed the dessert bar, so I'm a little bit filthy on that.
They had these Biscoff balls that were unbelievably good.
They sound good.
Yeah, Rocky Cranston, I couldn't believe how quickly she was just demolishing them at the dessert bar, and thought, can these go in the pocket for the trip back down the West Gate?
Yeah, maybe next year I'll be a bit more around that.
Joining us is third year Cat, the woman they call Spud, Kate Servan. Hello, Spud.
Hello, how are you?
You're good. Now, we've had you on K-Rock Footy before. It was after one of the games last year. It may actually have been after the win to finish off the season at home, but I just remember that this is somebody we need to talk to more often because there's a lot of fun to be had when we discuss all things. Well, I think not just footy, but life as well.
Yeah, I love chatting footy, life, chatting about anything. If anyone knows me, I love a good yarn.
Are you good like that on the field as well?
Sometimes, but it's one of my anchors. So for me to get going in footy is to use my voice. So it's not really hard for me, but sometimes it does switch off. But when I'm firing, it's usually going.
Here we go. Tuesday, we're going into a game on Saturday. What's it been like, the build-up? And the fact that we're now here, we had Georgia Prasparkas do some media today, and I said to her, it's now 100 hours, which it basically was at the time. She goes, I'll just say 4 days. And I thought, that's fair enough too. But what do the next 4 days entail in the build-up?
It's a busy period. It's been such a long off season, and then a long, long pre-season. So it is a busy period. You think you've got all this time to get prepped and sorted for what's fixtured for round one, and then it just all of a sudden creeps upon you, and we're here, as you said, 4 days out. So there's managing people's expectations around selection. There's obviously fine-tuning game style and method, and obviously, looking at the Kangaroos and how we like to combat them this weekend is taking up a lot of time from a coaching staff perspective, as well as the players implementing things at training. So to fit it all in, our week schedule is pretty chock-a-block to make sure we're ticking all the right boxes. But at the same time, it's great to be at this point.
Are you a calendar watcher, Spud? Are you counting down days, or are you just letting it wash over you as you go through pre-season and get to round one?
Well, I'm a seasoned professional, so I just take it every day by day. No. For me, I love playing footy. So, the games is the most fun part of football. So I definitely probably looked at more of, looking at the weeks. Because I think sometimes you think, Dan said, you think you have more time. But in the reality, it's not that long to get ready. And, we've got such a good team. So I think we want to be able to utilise the season the best we can, because we've got a team that potentially could take it all the way if everything goes right. So more weeks of pre-season is always good, but it's always good to start the season.
Yep. Have we nearly got a balance where you're playing as much footy as you do spend in pre-season? Oh. Or is it still more pre-season, no, unless you make it deep in finals?
Yeah, if you play deep finals, that's maybe 15 games, which is a great year. We've had two practice matches, so we kind of look at this round one as really round three for us in terms of games counted. But, the more games, clearly the better, but the pre-season 13-14 weeks into a 12-week season doesn't quite marry up. Then you add on the 2 or 3 months prior to that with the off-season. But this is the big task and test for all these athletes who are managing full-time careers now in terms of football being the priority, and when to start, when to break, and how much is enough, and that'll keep developing over time. But I think the 13 weeks has been pretty spot on for this part anyway.
Spud, 26 weeks of your life is spent being a footballer. The other 26 weeks is on the Gold Coast. What are you doing outside of footy?
Yeah, so I'm actually a physio. So I'm lucky enough that we get paid kind of 12 months all year. So I only have to kind of work that 3 days a week. And then on all my off days, I end up doing like my pre-season running. So I'm really lucky enough to kind of treat that like a job. So I kind of have two jobs even in the off season. So I keep myself pretty busy, but it's the best thing about a pre-season is like an off season is that you can kind of do anything you want at any time. So I'll tend to run 3 times a week and gym 3 times a week, but that's, I kind of keep it pretty chill because you can kind of overdo it in the off season and come into the pre-season a bit shot. So I like the fine balance of being able to kind of do it when I want, which is really nice. Yeah.
Do you run into your old Gold Coast teammates much when you're doing your running or anything like that?
No, I live more south Gold Coast, so more kind of Northern Rivers, if anyone knows that kind of area. So
not far from Tweed Heads?
I actually live in Tweed Heads. I like to call it Gold Coast because it sounds a little bit nicer, the old Gold Coast, but Tweed is beautiful. I actually do a lot of my running at Kingie. Yeah. There's a nice lovely track there, so I'm able to take my dog down and we go do our sprints together. And it's really, really good because I'm lucky enough to kind of step away from football, living in different states. And my partner lives up north, so for me, it just very feels like football down here. It's like 100% footy, and then up there, I kind of get a bit more of a relaxed environment, which, to be honest, really suits me, and I think it would suit a lot of people. I'm just lucky enough to do it.
Yep. So you're on the New South Wales side?
Yeah. So I'm actually in Tweed Heads. Yeah. I'm really lucky. I live on the water down there. So yeah.
Sounds,
I mean,
terrible.
It costs us a pretty penny, but I'm really, really lucky. Yeah.
Tell us about your how you back your boat into the river.
Yeah. So I actually have a little boat ramp out the back. We actually just got it redone. I've got a little tinny, which is good. We've just got the dog. We've got to get him a life jacket to start getting him onto little islands around the Terranora River, I think it is, and it backs onto the actual ocean, which is really cool. Yeah. Very, very lucky. But I do love Geelong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not planning on going back anytime soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it, so it's not a case of you go, oh, gee, these mornings are beautiful on the Gold Coast in, you know, late May, and all of a sudden you're going, oh, hang on, I've got to haul ass down south where it's not going to be overly warm.
To be honest, I get pretty antsy because I've been doing all this running and I'm like, I just want to touch a footy. I get sick of running by myself. But I think I'm originally from Ballarat, so there's probably a reason why I moved up north, because Ballarat's freezing. But I actually find it really easy to come down here in winter. It sounds really strange, but I think the knowing that I'm not here forever, I actually do live up north. It makes it a lot easier to kind of withstand the cold weather. But geez, we had beautiful weather on the weekend down here, so it hasn't been very nice up north. It's been quite rainy.
Is it true that you contacted the AFL and said, look, if you could put our practice match on the Gold Coast, that would be much appreciated?
I didn't contact the AFL, but I actually hold a lot of sway when it comes to the Cats Football Club, and I'm able to create things, and I somehow created the fact they were playing the Prakki game on the Gold Coast.
And a game in Ballarat this year too.
Yep, a game in Ballarat too. So I think that they may be trying to retire me by doing everything for me this year, but I don't have much sway. I just talk to a lot of people and make sure they know what I'd like.
And I think that game's on October 26th, which is only 2 days before your birthday as well. So you've really worked that out well, haven't you?
How did you know?
It's great research.
Yeah, gosh. Don't ask. No, I was going to say, how old am I?
No, you don't ask a lady.
No, you don't. No. No, it was pretty cool, hey, and playing on a Sunday. And hopefully the weather turns out, but knowing Ballarat, it'll probably be cold and windy. So
yeah, Rocky and I are. We're looking forward to going to Ballarat to call that game. Mm. We're just looking forward to it being mid-20s.
You know,
yeah.
Be nice. Yeah. Just rug up this in case.
Beautiful ground, though. Like, ooh, it's actually, in a really, really good spot. I used to be a sports trainer for North Ballarat. So I've spent many times around that oval and down in the change room. So it'd be pretty nostalgic for me.
Nice. You're off season, Dan. Obviously, you're a teacher by trade. Did you get a chance to get back into the classroom at all?
No, I didn't. I'm full time coaching, which is fabulous. But you know, to keep your VRT, you need to it's been that long since I've actually had a crack. but I had a couple of chances early in Jan/Feb, but just didn't marry up with what we're doing with work. But I do enjoy getting back in the classroom. I do miss the rigor of the day to day with the kids and whatnot. But I wouldn't give up what I'm doing for the world. But in classroom PD. Went away though, had some time overseas. My wife and I went over to the UK and a bit of Europe, which was good, Italy and Belgium and a bit of France, which was nice. No real PD this time. Like last couple of years I've had a chance to get to some big Premier League clubs, you know, Liverpool and Manchester United and Arsenal and whatnot. But particularly the Arsenal women's was outstanding. But and I've coupled that with Ireland as well, with our recruiting and some of our players too. So look to do that again next year if the chance arrives. But had a good off season, which is good around March. Yeah.
Meg McDonald spoke about the Arsenal impact. I think it was an article that was in the Geelong Addy, I think on the back page actually. I think she spoke at Captain's Day about it and modelling yourselves on something like that. Did you get a chance to have a read of it and get what the skipper was talking about?
Spending a couple of days there was probably a great thing. They play at Emirates Stadium. They regularly fill it, 60,000 people to their games. But the fans are passionate about the club, and not just about women's and men's football over there, but it's about the club and how they support that as a general fan base. And they do it such a good way. There's no segregation. It's all one club philosophy. And I think AFL clubs now are leaning towards that space, which is positive for the growth of, a full football program, but not just AFLW and men's. So, we keep talking about how lucky we are to play at a Tier 1 stadium like GMHBA, and there's so much space to fill. We're getting 4,000 or 5,000 people to a game. If we get 10,000, it'd be like a real game changer in regards to the landscape of AFLW and supporter base. So we've got the memberships, we've got the people who are keen to watch footy. It's just about now trying to make sure they come through the gates for W.
I think Amy McDonald put 10,000 on the agenda yesterday when she did a little bit of media and said, we'd love 10,000. She goes, I know I'm shooting for the stars, I'm paraphrasing here, but that's the number. Wouldn't it be great if you could pull a 10?
Well, I don't see why we can't. And it's one of those things where, the Netflix or the Disney Welcome to Wrexham was fabulous to watch. I was swept up in that. Managed to get to a couple of Wrexham games over in the UK, which is great. But their women's team are playing at their Tier 1 stadium and getting 10,000 people. And that's just a local, community-based club. And here we are in AFL, elite environment, and we're striving to get to that number. So I don't think it's out of realms that we can't get there eventually, but it's something we need to keep pushing for.
Do you feel the product is getting there to where we want it to be, or are we still a little bit away from where we want it to be?
No, it's getting better and better again. Like, it's the whole comparison to men's and women's. Like, there's still growth. There's a lot of growth. Let's not beat around the bush. Like, we're working our backsides off to make the product better, but it comes with time, patience, practice, good coaching, the players coming through the pathway system, getting the right training they need as they get older and towards our environment. But that's going to take some time as the AFL navigate that landscape and club land as well. Each year, the challenge becomes harder and harder. Teams are getting stronger. The way the fixturing is, you don't get that kind of continuity around who you're playing from week to week and year to year. But you need to be on your A game, because it is getting better and better. The fundamentals are always improving off the back of that. The IQ gets better, and each week's a real challenge, which is what you want. But it'll take some time still, but it's going in the right direction, that's for sure.
Spud, we know Gold Coast, Port Adelaide, Geelong, but what's the Spud Sermon story that got you to playing at the elite level of Australian rules football?
Ah, okay. So, obviously, like I said, I was originally from Ballarat. So I participated in a lot of Auskick growing up. So I've always kind of known how to kick a footy. I always used to say, which I don't like saying it now, is that I always used to kick like a boy. Yep. I used to drop it with one hand all throughout growing up. And I didn't really touch a football until I got back into high school. You do your term sport footy, and I was at Loretto College, and we used to have like a term sport competition, and that's when I kind of got back into it and kind of fell in love with it. But I didn't take it really seriously. I was kind of just playing it for fun, and I did get asked a couple of times to go down to North Ballarat. But for me, I just really wasn't interested. There was quite a significant stigma on playing football, so I kind of wasn't super keen to kind of push that way, particularly when you're young and you're impressionable. So I stuck more towards basketball. And when I moved to Queensland for uni, and I was kind of seeing that there was a football team there, and I was like, I actually wouldn't mind playing. But
so
again,
at Bond University?
No, actually at University of Queensland. Yep. Yeah, so UQ. And I was really thinking about getting into it, and there was still no AFLW at this point, but I still loved kicking the footy, and I'm a big Cat supporter growing up anyway, so I still didn't go down. And then what ended up happening is the AFLW came into play, and one of my best mates was playing in it. So I think it was round two, I went down and I was like, this is actually pretty cool. Maybe I should have a crack. Yeah. And then I went back and ended up playing for Maroochydore, actually. So yeah, when I'd finished, I graduated, moved to the Sunny Coast, and then played for Maroochydore. And then pretty much from then, I got kind of headhunted by initially by a little bit by Brisbane and then the Gold Coast, and that's how I became like a inaugural son. But I was still living on the Sunny Coast, so I was driving down.
Well, that's about an hour and three quarters.
Nah, mate, it's 2.5 hours. Oh, I was living in Coolum, so.
Oh, wow.
So, but this story's not. It's pretty, like, it's a relatively, like, normal story for us older girls. But actually, someone said to me the other day, it's like, these stories aren't going to, they're not going to be anymore. People are going to be like, what's your story? And they're going to be like, oh, I just got drafted.
Yeah.
They're not going to have those big stories like a Shelley Scott, even like a Meg story of the hardship you have to kind of go through to get to where you want to be. And, yeah, like, a lot of that time I wasn't getting paid or anything. And obviously, initially, you weren't getting paid. So, yeah, so It's unique, but it's not unique with a lot of older girls. But, I ended up at the Gold Coast and had a ball. It's pretty cool. It's really, really lovely, lovely club as well.
Yep.
Just the Cats is the best.
Yep. Do you wish you were 10 years younger?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, look, I mean, you can go either way, really, with that, can't you? You can be like, oh, those poor people that were 10 years older that missed out.
Mm,
so,
true.
You know, I'm lucky enough to get the opportunity. And I'm also, like, I've got a training history behind me. So when it comes to, like, injuries and load management, I'm pretty content with all that stuff. So injuries aren't as common as probably what you get with the young girls, just because I've just got a history of strength behind me. But yes, I do wish I was a lot younger to be able to. I think I might be a bit more a midfielder. Hey, Dan.
Oh,
nah, the girls joke that I want to be a midfielder. I love the high
forward. Everyone wants to be a midfielder.
Spud's obviously a firecracker.
True.
Is Spud the biggest personality in your group of 30, or is there somebody? I suspect Michaela Bowen probably challenges in that as well, just from my dealings with a majority of your playing group.
We have a diverse range of personalities, and I'd say Spud's probably one of those ones that brings the most energy. Her and maybe Becky Webster bring a pretty combined high level of energy, which is infectious on everybody. You mentioned Michaela Bowen, and there's others in that kind of realm where there's Michaela and Georgie Rankin and those who kind of are calming, and they get across the group in different ways. But certainly Spud's up there with the energizer buddy effect.
Or the loudest. I'd probably say I'm the loudest.
Squeaky squeal gets the most grease.
I don't like that saying.
It's got an infectious laugh,
too. I don't
too.
Squeak.
No, but the louder you are, like, you might end up in the midfield if you continued.
I don't want to be a midfielder.
She does.
I genuinely don't want to. I like, it's completely
Well, she plays way. Literally like a midfielder anyway, up the ground, down the ground, like she's all over the ground. So, yeah, you get that fix there.
We had Becky Webster do some media earlier, a couple of weeks ago, and she was great. And then we obviously were lucky enough to have Claudia Gunjaka and G Rankin come in and join us pre-game on our AFL men's coverage on Friday night. I reckon they could have stayed there all night, the two of them.
Well, they do their podcast. Yes. They're very good at talking, and they talk a lot of sense, and they are good to listen to. But they're ones that have been around the program for an extended period now as well. So they're very comfortable with their place in the program, but also their role they play as good teammates.
Season 4 for you as coach?
I think 5.
Is it 5?
Yeah, we're 2-1. Yes. Two seasons
That's
in one.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So fourth year, fifth season.
Yep. Yeah. The evolution of Geelong's game style over that time probably evolves with the list. But will we evolve from last year to this year? What can we? Will we see something different about the Cats from 2024?
Yeah, I think we need to keep evolving and changing our game style to a certain degree based on the strengths of the group we've got too. So early days, you know, you look at your list and you think, well, the strengths of the list are equal these types of, I suppose, game style we can focus on. And I think we chased that the first couple of years that I took over around, you know, just trying to minimise being scored against and taking some territory and making sure we play the game in the front half. And until we can develop a list that can support doing something else that's a bit more free and open field play. I think the last couple of years have developed a pretty sound system in regards to building the girls' IQ to play multiple roles, but also to move the ball from inside to out, which has been a part of our philosophy. And, you know, bringing players into our team that can complement that as well, but also the strengths they can also bring that then can give us to another step in a different direction to add layers to our game. And I think, you know, players like Brodie O'Rourke have come in and given us a bit of a look off the back of last year to this year as well. And we draft in Sienna Talaridi and Lexi Gregor to, you know, capitalise on some of the growth from the coach league and the talent coming through. And
absolutely.
And their assets will be a really big, a big driver in the way we play our game. So, Yeah, we'll still, our system will stay intact, but there's lots of wriggle room around it to kind of utilise the strengths of the team.
Have you noticed, Spud, just that little adjustment that's hopefully going to take the girls back into November action, as we now call it?
Yeah, week by week we look at it, but I have to because I get ahead of myself. To be honest, like we probably had a fair few people have a few injuries early days, and I really gave some of the players opportunities that they probably wouldn't have had. And what I've noticed has been massive growth in those girls, to the point where it's like they're pushing for spots now. And for us, having competitive list is really, really important. Like, the men's team's so competitive, so, and that's why they stay up the top. So for us, anyone's kind of ready to come in, but I think Amy maybe mentioned it yesterday, is that she noticed coming in just the contest work. We really wanted to work more on contests and kind of be really combative. Because we're so good on the outside. I would say we're quite a classy team. We're probably one of the classiest teams with the ball in hand and shifting the ball. But sometimes when it comes to kind of like heavy contested footy, we're not probably the greatest at. And I think that's what you're probably going to notice, that we can kind of play both ways now. We can play that kind of wet weather footy and that pretty footy in the dry. So that's what I'm excited to kind of see, that we can kind of switch from outside to really contested work.
It's fair to say this preseason's been a little less inhibited than last year's, Dan, in terms of results, injuries. You know, you're coming off two really good results against the Saints and the Suns, as opposed to that beating you up from Essendon at Windy Hill last year.
Yeah.
G. Prespakis is obviously not got that quad issue that she had last year. You know, a couple of other girls are probably a bit freer than what they were this time 12 months ago.
Yeah, it's an interesting comparison from one year to the next, how quickly it can change after a long break. But, you know, last year with the condensed fixturing we had, we're kind of preparing for that from a conditioning aspect. And maybe we just didn't quite get it right, which isn't in retrospect and no harm there. But, you know, a few of our players kind of limped to the line towards the end of pre-season. Those two practice matches against the Pies and the Bombers were kind of like, I think we're a bit off here. You know, it's going to take some time to get back into the groove. But round one was a competitive game against the D's, and we just fell short. And obviously round two against the Kangaroos was a draw. So, you know, off the back of a bit of a rough start, we didn't start very well, but we finished the year really strongly. And our first two games so far this year against the Saints and the Suns kind of showed that what we've been doing in the off-season, you know, things that Spud talked about around contest work and our keeping our players healthy and utilising their strengths. Like, you know, Georgie's had an outstanding pre-season, but it's been really well managed from a load perspective. Our sports scientists have been really over the top of, you know, kind of individualising people's programs through the pre-season to make sure they get to the point of now so they're ready to go, as opposed to kind of limping to the end. And you know, Georgie's is one of, you know, a handful of players that are, you know, are flourishing off the back of it. And, you know, Spud mentioned before around her resilience around injury. Yeah, you're right, that the whole list being available is important, but, you know, full credit to Spud as well. Like, you know, at her age, which is a sprightly young buck, but but the role she plays, you know, there needs to be, her strengths fit the role really well. And there's a number of other players that their roles and their strengths combine really well. So the Suns was a great test for that. Yeah, George had a great game, but so did Nina. Amy came off the bench after a bit of a break, and she showed that she's still got her class and her fight. Spud played a good game as well, but it was good to get some games with the younger players too.
You look at the list for this week, off the top of my head, and we haven't seen an AFLW health update, but from what we know, you won't be able to pick Chloe Shear, Katie Tipping, Sienna Tellariti.
That's it.
So you'll have 27, and 27 doesn't go into 21.
That's right. No. So, yeah, 3 or 4 weeks ago, we were wondering how we're going to get enough players on the field for a practice match, and now we've got this conundrum of who misses out, which is a good thing to have. But, you know, for those players involved who are on the cusp of playing, it's a tricky time of year to navigate, and we all feel for everyone's predicament. But, you know, we've had some players come through some long rehab as well. Like, Shawnee Mason's had a great pre-season off the back of a long rehab. And, you know, Rach Kearns and Amy McDonald, they've all had their little issues here and there. And we've got people right at the right time of the year. So there's going to be some headaches for sure.
And maybe some debutants. I know you probably can't give too much away. Have you tapped anybody on the shoulder yet to say?
Oh, I've had a couple of conversations around this could be your week this week. But if it's not, you know, be prepared for the short term. But, you know, Erica Fowler is another one that's come onto our list as a late pickup for us and has done wonderful things. So expect to see a few players play pretty quickly.
Yep. Spud, obviously, you know, just making sure that you're part of that 21, just doing anything, you know, just, Dan, I'm here, just remember me. I think you'll be
fine. It's hard to miss her.
Yeah. Look, I think when you talk about the half forward spot, it's not probably the position that everyone puts their hand up to play. Mm. So I'm lucky enough that the competition isn't quite strong in the high forward spot. But look, I have to do everything right to still play like everyone else. So I'll be putting my best foot forward, as they say. But yeah.
As a teammate, whose growth have you enjoyed of the returning players? So from, obviously the 23 or 24 from last year that are back, who's somebody that you've really enjoyed watching their evolution over the last 13 weeks?
Yeah, there's probably two standouts for me, and I reckon Dan's probably going to nod his head here. Obviously, like Bridie O'Rourke, yep. She's someone that I initially thought of as like, oh, she's not necessarily going to get probably heaps of opportunities, but obviously having a few injuries, she's really stood up. And for like a young girl to like really build into some strengths like contested work, which I never thought she would ever have. She's fighting for the ball. She's running. Like, she's been able to kind of do it all, which has been really super impressive, considering she only played one game and kind of got injured. What was it?
About 5 minutes into the game.
It was a shoulder, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and when kids come into the system, you don't really know what they've got, whether they've got a bit of, go or not. But seeing her through the preseason, I was like, oh, actually, Wright's actually pretty good. And, I'm loving her contested work, because sometimes people think on the wing that you're not contested, but you are. You're battling a lot of one-on-ones, and I think if you can win or at least halve those, we're on a way for a win. And then another one would be one of the Irish, and no, it's not Lee, Kate Kenny.
Yep.
She's someone, so she's changing positions. So am I allowed to say this?
You just did.
Well, you just have, but she's probably going to play two or three positions.
Yeah, well, anyway, she's changing positions. And the cool thing is it means that she can kind of utilise her strengths. Yeah. Like her ability to kick left and right is insane. And when I say about left and right, she can kick 30-40 on her left. I can't even kick that on my right. So her ability to be able to use that's awesome. And then also I think the positions that she's going to play, she's going to play, is that she has a little bit more freedom than what she probably did playing through the high forward with me. So I can't wait to see both of them just kind of kill it.
Mm-hmm. How's Ash going to handle the expectation that comes with being the reigning leading goal kicker? Or is it, my what I've seen of her is that this is fun, and I'm not going to get caught up in other people's hype.
Well, she doesn't. She's that kind of personality. So she'll go home, she'll work on the farm, and she'll disappear from life for 2 or 3 months. Her parents are wonderful people as well, and they work their own family farm there, and she just disappears, and that's how it is. And when people start to talk about expectation or putting a prize on the line, she's very, very quickly to put it down and say it's about team performance. There's nothing more to reach for except for your own individual standard and your team performance, and that's as far as she gets. So I don't talk to her much about expectation or, what if you do this or could you do that. It's like, we know you're a competitive beast. She loves that part of our AFLW game, and she'll just bring that from week to week, and she's not happy. Even training, like Spud might attest to this, but training is like a game for her, and if you don't defend her the way you would in a game, she'll be quick to tell you that you need to lift your game, because that's how we get better, and that's all you could expect from an athlete.
I know you'd love to see them together. Are we at some stage going to see Ash Maloney and Chloe Shear in the same forward line this year?
There's always hope. We saw it a couple of years ago, and that was pretty exciting too in the prelim. If it works out this year, that would be exceptional, but there's no time frame on Chloe, so we'll just give her as much time as she needs, whether it's this year or the future. But, it's a pretty impressive thought to think about having those two running around the front half, and, if the ball's getting down there enough, what they could potentially do. And, you don't discount Jackie Parry and the way she goes about her game as well. And these two nifty forwards as well, with Spud and Bowie doing their thing on the ground, and Gabby Featherston waiting the wings around that space as well. So, yeah, it'd be nice to get Chloe and Ashling around.
Does Darbs roll forward a bit more now that you've got Piper and...
Yeah, that's the plan. Yeah, it's worked well the first two scratchy games. Probably that relieving ruck would be nice for her. But she's had a great preseason training as a genuine forward, which is what she's done in the past. Yep. But she's competing really well, and she's got some energy then to go and give us some support in the ruck. And it's great to have Piper doing that for her own growth too. And Katie Tipping's waiting in the wings for that too. So that's what we think will work out.
A few changes to you. Well, a couple of changes to your coaching staff. One is Nathan Brown's coming as your midfield coach. But the one we're all talking about is Tom Atkins as a development coach. Spud, I know you play as a high forward, but I'm sure you would have picked his brain in some way, shape or form.
Yeah, of course. Mate, he's a tackling beast, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think for me it's more about like how he goes about the way he plays. So for me, it's like, well, when you just have a shocker, how do you get yourself out of having a shocker? So I think he spoke about just going back to like your anchor, which for me would be a voice, like I mentioned before. So just I think it's more those little things that he really brings to players that aren't in the midfield, because I just go and have a chat with him. But we're lucky enough that the whole club's like that. The amount of times I've picked Grimes, I've picked his brain so hard, and same with Sean Manor. So we're lucky enough that all the boys are open to it. So yeah.
Yeah, and Tom, he's been a great asset to us, so that off-season in particular. But, you know, if there's anyone who does the little things, the fundamentals consistently well and to the best of his ability, and showcase the fact that you don't need to make the game difficult, you just have to do the fundamentals well, he's the poster child for that. So getting across to our midfield group around your midfield principles and your contest work, and you know, there's no surprise why he's the... Did he break the league record for tackles this year already?
He will,
yeah. So why do you do that? How do you do that? Like, that's the one wood of your midfield, isn't it? Yeah, to win the ball back and harass and chase and defend. And he does that beautifully. And he's passed on those kind of traits to our team.
Who initiated the conversations to get him involved?
I think it was a bit organic, to be fair. Like, you know, between him and Mitch Duncan and a few others that kind of, you know, jump in for conversations around footy because they just love the program and love talking football around the girls' development and growth. There was a conversations with Mark Worthington around, you know, things he could do that kind of, you know, develop his ideas around coaching,
yep.
Dip his toe in the water just to see if he likes it. And I think the W program's, you know, right there for him to practice that skill. And yeah, we'd be crazy not to have someone of his ilk come in and give us some feedback on how we're doing things and give us his advice. So it's worked out well. He's loving it. He's preparing every week. He's going through the vision and coding things for the girls to go through. We even took a line meeting with the mids yesterday.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's, yeah, the little things we appreciate.
A few off-field changes as well. Dom Kondo comes back into the club.
Yeah.
But as you're head of AFLW, what's Dom brought to the role that is a little bit different to what was last season, where Brett Johnson was part of probably the men's program but an offshoot to the women's as part of his role?
Yeah, we're probably looking more now. They're looking at a bit of a strategy going forward over the next 3 years. So, you know, Dom's meeting with exec and Hawk and whatnot about where the big picture is for the program as a club-wide program, and then off the back of that we'll filter down to how we can then kind of consolidate a program for us that can service the girls, you know, full-time as much as we can from a coaching perspective, education, and then prep for the oncoming seasons. But she's, again, it's her experience in AFL level with us at the beginning, Richmond, obviously for a few years as well, then back to us. Her off-field work at Deakin and whatnot. Like, she's a very busy person, but well-rounded, holistic approach to high performance. So she brings all those things.
Are you watching what you eat around her? Cause she's
I try. Well, I ask for good advice anyway. So I had a salad sandwich today, so there's no guilt there.
What about when Dom came back with the fish and chips on season launch night last Tuesday?
Yeah, no judge.
Moderation.
No judgment. Yeah, that's it.
Everything
yeah.
in moderation. Renee Gehring's one of the great human beings, Spud, and to have her as player development manager must be wonderful for the squad.
Oh, she's an absolute beauty. Have you met her?
Yes. I've had a bit to do with Renee over the journey.
Yeah, like, I don't like the word, but, like, she's probably the nicest person that I've ever met. Like, and the kindest person I've ever met. And
story checks out.
Oh, and she just... The role just suits her to a T, because you need to have the knowledge of, like, football and the knowledge of what it's like to be in the football environment, but you also have, like, have to have the massive care factor. And like what we said, that Renee's... has so much care for this group and understands it. You know, she's been in and out of the team. She's been a new player, not playing football, and then all of a sudden playing football. So she brings a lot of experience in that part. So we're very, very lucky to have Nay. And she was my fellow high forward for a little while, and I missed her. So I'm glad to have her back.
Absolutely. Tennille Cutterford, can you tell us a little bit about her background and what she's brought looking after high performance since joining the program?
Yeah, she's been a ripper. So her background, she originally was at Carlton, I think, at their initial stages of the AFLW. And
Nose Darbs then?
Yeah, new Darbs, Nose Darbs. Actually, I think she even taught Georgie Prasparkas. So there's some history there, which we won't go down that rabbit hole just yet. But she did some work out at Maribyrnong's Sports College as well, in high performance and in that space. So had a few years off with family and whatnot. And, yeah, when we had this role that come up for us in regards to a full-time S&C role. She applied and her interview was outstanding in regards to just that holistic approach to being able to differentiate for our group. And the care factor was another thing that shone through. And the fact that she'd be visible and available was going to be a really important factor as well. And she just had that infectious personality that she just wanted to get in front of the group, forge really strong relationships and get them on their way. And, you know, I think our group just needs to be told at times too, this is what you need to be doing. Yep. And the context as to why and how it kind of relates to football too, and not just it's an athletics program outside of a football program. And I think she's made that correlation really strong. And yeah, she's had nothing but you know, good things to say and do about the program, and she's been a breath of fresh air.
But is it fair to say that when you're given a, whatever it's a time trial, a yo-yo run, whatever you've got to do is sort of a test, when that person's relatable and nice, is it easier to go, okay, I'll do this, as opposed to when you go, oh, really? It's like drill sergeant sort of arrangement, this.
Yeah, well, like most, I'm not sure if Dan will be able to concur, but like a lot of the time with women is that we want to know why we're doing things. It's always why. So if you tell us why and it makes sense, then we'll do it. So Tanil's a female, so she explains everything really, really well. And I actually got a chance to meet her she was on holidays in Kingy. So I had a really, really good chat with her, and I just got good vibes, and the good vibes are still coming, so it's been great.
I reckon you're a vibes person. I mean, is it fair to say you're a vibes person? You thrive off other people's vibes, and if it's bad juju, you're not involved?
Yeah, I would probably say that. The vibes I got was, I love the fact that she was my height too. She's a little pocket rocket. Same with Dom. They bring the height down. We had to get a few more taller players to bring the height of the team up.
You're the first person to come in here and sit in a high chair, to be honest.
I was actually really embarrassed. I pulled it all the way up and I was like, this is embarrassing. My legs are dangling at the moment. I do love good vibes. As I've gotten older, I've got a lot better at not absorbing the bad vibes as much and not taking it in, and that it comes down to like with selection. I'm a massive empathist, so I've learned a little bit more that it's like it's relative, like it's business, and it's kind of black and white when it comes to selection process. So I don't really let that vibe take me down as much as what it probably did in the past.
Don't say that, because Dan will go, oh, who am I dropping this?
Yeah,
oh,
that's all right. That's a bit easy now. You're an easy target.
Yeah. Well, it's more. I'm not going
to say no more. Right, no BS. How do we beat the Kangaroos on Saturday for the first time in club history?
Yeah, we've been close, haven't we, the last few times, which is probably the reason why the AFL put us against in round one. But look, I think Spud mentioned earlier on, like, we just didn't get our contest work right last year. And yeah, we had a good game against them in round two. It's a great test to have both Adelaide second round as well and Kangaroos first round, just kind of get some feelers out. But we just need to make sure that we're matching a really strong midfield with what we think is our strong midfield, and get the ball going in the right direction early days. And then, you know, with that pressure that we're focusing on as a whole team and program as well, and playing the game in the front half for longer, we think that we've got the firepower up front to threaten their defence. We've got a midfield that can match them in inside and out, and our defence is strong when it's well set. So I think it'll be a fairly tight arm wrestle. The big ground will probably suit both teams, to be fair. Yep. The conditions look a bit yuck,
they're skew whiff,
which is not a bad thing if you want to minimise the flow of the game. But I think both teams want to play an open field game, which kind of, you know, supports both philosophies. But and GMHBA holds the water pretty well, so the deck should be pretty fast still. But it'll just be about those moments, you know, your contest moments, making the most of those shots on goal, or a mark that's clear that needs to be taken. Just those little moments in a game against a strong team, you need to make sure you capitalise. And I think that's a challenge for us. The consistency piece is what we've been talking about as a team going into this week. And that's what the Kangaroos have done well for years. They've been consistently good. So that's our challenge.
Kay Sermon in the long sleeves on Saturday at 12 degrees?
No. Where do the long sleeves come from? Oh, I've never worn long sleeves.
No, I just saw it at 12 degrees, you know, coming down from the Gold Coast. Have you acclimatised yet?
Look at it now. It's got this woolen jumper on as well.
It almost looks like you got a onesie on.
Mate, it's great. It's the kids' version. It's great. Dom has one too. It fits her as well.
Is that a polar fleece?
I think it's like a teddy coat, I think.
A teddy coat?
I think it's called a teddy coat,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got fashion. No, I've never worn a long sleeve. This is going to sound really like my arms are, like, they get a little bit tight on my arms. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
I've just been in the gym, hit the gym too hard. no.
Those big no. pistols.
Yeah. Yeah. Got to make up for my height some way.
These guns don't fire bullets.
Exactly right. No. But I would never wear a long sleeve, didn't it? Was it Clark who said that you shouldn't wear a long sleeve?
Alistair Clarkson.
Yeah.
Each to their own. We've got a couple of players that wear long sleeves.
But yeah. I did get told, though, this is what Scotty used to tell me, so Shelley Scott, she's like, if you wear a long sleeve, you get the ball kicked to you more often because they can spot you out more.
Right.
And
Shell loves long sleeves.
She does. Shelley Braggy's another one that wears long sleeve. But other than that, though.
Long sleeves don't really look like Braggy's tall.
Yeah, too many stripes.
Can't get my head around.
I still think they look great, though. Yeah,
it's a great jumper.
Yeah, it is. The hoops is great.
All right, so 3:35 Saturday afternoon. Tickets on sale through Ticketmaster, but memberships as well at membership.geelongcats.com.au. You can find the best membership package for you. Cats last year nudging around, I think, that 10,000 member mark at AFLW, which is, I think, the best in the competition. Mm. So hopefully we can translate that into just don't buy a membership. Come to the game.
That's the big message. Mm. Get to the game. I know the GFL have moved the St Mary's game to finish a touch earlier, I think, on Saturday. So get across the paddock,
so
the car park.
1:10 that game.
Yep.
So if the people go into that, that'll finish about
three-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bit down for 3.
20 to 4.
Yeah.
So that means, straight across. You'll only miss 10 minutes.
That's it, yeah.
Get yourself in there and away.
Get amongst it, yeah. Support the whole football club.
Yep.
I think if you can give a shout-out, like it's... If you just come and watch us play, like, I think people come to games and go, oh, the girls actually can play.
Yeah.
So I think even just give us a shot. We'll show you that we can actually play footy. Because I feel like a lot of people just watch what's on the TV and don't actually come and watch us play. And I think we play a really, really, like, a great brand of footy, and so does North. So it should be a really exciting game. So just give us a chance and you'll want to keep coming.
Absolutely. 6 home games this year, of course. This week against the Kangaroos, fortnight later against the Swans. A little bit of a gap, and then the Hawks on the Thursday night, which I think the AFL are trying to turn into a traditional clash between Geelong and Hawthorn, Easter Monday in the men, Geelong and Hawthorn grand final, public holiday eve in the women. And then I think that's part of 3 in a row, isn't it?
Yeah,
three bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
Saturday afternoon, Sunday's in there, and then finish, obviously. Melbourne Cup weekend.
You know the fixture better than me. It's 1 week at a time for me.
Yeah. I've got to do some planning. I've got to make sure Rocky's in the right spot to be, hey, Rock, we're on this weekend. Yeah. Just make sure she's ready to go. Guys, we wish you the very best of luck. Dan, always love talking footy with you.
Thanks, King. You too, mate.
You and I have been talking
a long
time. Yeah. Spud, lovely to meet you for the first time. Face to face. No doubt we'll be talking to you as the season unfolds as well. We wish you the very best for season 2025 of AFLW.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks for having me.
Dan Lowther, Kate Surman joining us on the Cat Attack Podcast. Thanks to Kerr's Hire.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire. Locally owned and operated for over 40 years.